This is Pastor Dean Proctor from Queensway Baptist Church in Brantford, Ontario, Canada. You're listening to a podcast of one of our latest sermons. At Queensway, we seek to impact lives for Jesus in this generation and in generations to come. As you listen to this podcast, we trust you'll be blessed. We're going to be looking at a passage from 2 Kings 6 this morning. If you care to turn there, you absolutely can. 2 Kings 6, I'm going to specifically be reading out loud verses 13 to 17. But to begin, as you're doing that this morning, I want you to do a little imagining with me. I want you to just imagine with me that you are the king of Syria, however that looks in your head. You're the king of Syria. The following scenario unfolds, king. You've got this army. You have been sending them up against the nation of Israel over and over again. And like so many times, and yet every time they beat you. It was almost like they knew exactly what you were doing. They knew exactly when you were coming and knew exactly how you would attack them. So you've thought about that over and over again. You've thought about your many losses, and the only thing that makes sense to you is this one solution. There's got to be a traitor in the midst. Somebody is selling out our Aramean people, our Syrian people. Somebody is selling us out because that's the only way they can know that we're coming. Who is it? You're still convinced that there's a mole in your midst, but then your officers say, no, there's a different thing going on. You see, the nation of Israel, they have this holy man. His name is Elisha. He's a holy man. He can hear your words. When you're laying out your plans in your room, he can hear it. And then he goes and tells Israel. That's how they know what's going on, and that's how they know to expect you every time. Now, at first, the traitor story made more sense to you. But they seem very convinced about this holy man. So then, if that's the case, go and get him and bring him to me. And that's where we pick up the narrative in 2 Kings 6, verses 13 to 17. And so you, the king, say, go and see where he is, that I might send and seize him. It was told him, behold, he's in Dothan. So he sent there horses and chariots and a great army, and they came by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God rose early in the morning and went out, behold, an army with horses and chariots all around the city. And the servant said, alas, my master, what shall we do? He, this is Elisha, said, do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And then Elisha prayed and said, O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see. So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So, my king, your army did find the holy man. And they were ready to take him, because that's what you ordered them to do. And then just as they were about to do that, through some great power, they were struck blind. These same troops now, unable to see where they were going or who they were talking to, were led by a very nice person, by the way, to a completely different city, in Samaria of all places, where our eyes were opened and we realized we were out of our element, unprepared, defenseless. And it turned out the one who led us there was that holy man, Elisha. We thought we were done for. There we were. And you know what they did next, O king? They put on a banquet for us. They fed us, gave us drink, and then sent us home safely to you. So we therefore ask you, O king, realize the futility of coming up against the nation of Israel and the God of Israel, and just stop trying to overtake them. And the raids against the nation of Israel did stop for a time. They did stop. God had worked an incredible miracle in this scene, a miracle of protection. He showed everyone involved things they had never seen before, things they had never experienced before. They had a new perspective, and that's what we're talking about today in part 6 of this series. Today we're talking about getting a fresh perspective from God. And I just want to point out the ways that each of the people, except for one, in the event that we just read, were given a fresh perspective from God. Start with the king. The king started out saying, there's a traitor in the camp. That's how this is happening. But by the end of the event, he was confronted with and forced to acknowledge the power of God at work against him. There were the officers. They started out convinced that it was a holy man that was to blame. In the end, they came to see that it was the Most High God who was responsible. Elisha's servant, we don't even actually know his name. He figures they're done for. He comes out in the morning and he sees the city surrounded by this opposing army. But Elisha said, those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And through his prayer, God allowed Elisha's servant to see what was going on, to see the army surrounding the army that was surrounding them. And for their part, the Aramean raiders, the army itself, they're following the king's orders, right? They arrive in Dothan, they've got a job to do, they see their intended target in Elisha, and then they don't see anything else for a while. Led away to Samaria, and at the end of the day, forced to admit that this was, in fact, the power of the God of Israel at work. Elisha was the only one who knew it all along. He saw right away what was happening. He knew exactly the way that God was working. And it was like Elisha could see what the others couldn't or wouldn't see. A fresh perspective. When God provides that fresh perspective, as he does in this event to nearly everyone there, it's a powerful gift. And when he does it for us, it's a powerful gift. It changes our thinking. It changes our attitude. It changes our practice of faith. It changes our emotional responses to the things that are happening around us. When we keep our heads down, when we keep our perspective narrow, we miss so much about the kingdom of God. We miss so much about what God is doing when our view is purposely limited or is only concerned with the things that are of most concern to us personally. We miss out altogether on what God wants to do or is already doing, and we just haven't noticed. Could be our opinion, our vantage point, our pet project. When we focus only on those things, we're a bit like the servant of Elisha. We think we see what's going on. The fact is, we don't see what's going on at all. It takes a willing submission to God through Jesus Christ to get that fresh perspective that I'm talking about this morning. Let me give you an example. If the Second Kings example and imagining yourself to be the king of Syria was a stretch for you, let me give you another example that might be a little easier. I want you to imagine that Queensway is like First Baptist Church in the Henderson Survey, okay? So it's one of those big buildings. It's been around forever. Giant, towering ceilings. Hardwood as far as the eye can see. Wooden pews, wooden everything. Huge choir loft. 12 choir members, but a huge choir loft. Organ. I love your imagination. Keep going. And a huge balcony that overlooks it all. Now, when you're down on the floor on Sunday morning and you're sitting in your normal seat, you have a certain vantage point. You see things from a certain angle. You see the same people doing, you see the same talking head up at a music stand, saying every morning when you're in here, you see it. You see the choir gathering. You see how long it takes them every Sunday to stand up for the anthem. I mean, people, it starts the service every single week, but there's that one person on the end, and she takes forever to stand up. You're aware from your vantage point of some things that are going on in the sanctuary. You hear a rustling sound over one shoulder. You hear a noise of a baby over in the back corner. Whispering voices that are completely audible, so not really whispering voices at all. And just when you're trying to pay attention to what the guy on the platform is saying, from somewhere over on the right-hand side, somebody drops their Bible. And you're sitting there, and mostly what you're concerned with is that he doesn't preach too long, and that by the time you get into the coffee room, there's going to be muffins left. And that's pretty much what Sunday morning looks like every Sunday morning, right? But now I want you to imagine, do you know that during the 9 o'clock service, the batteries went dead on my microphone at exactly this point? It was like, he is so offensive, we're just turning it off right now. Okay, but now imagine you're in the balcony. The exact same worship service, but this time you're seated in the front row of the balcony, and you can see it all playing out in front of you. And see, from the front row of the balcony, you can see into the choir loft. And you can see that one arthritic, dedicated choir member pulling herself up to her feet to sing the anthem. How many times did you criticize her slowness? Not understanding what was really going on. So you vow instead at that point to give thanks to God that she's there week after week, happily worshiping in song, no matter how long it takes to get the anthem started. From where you're seated there in the balcony, you can see the parents with that young baby that they're trying to occupy. They have come super prepared with Cheerios and fishy crackers and little soft toys, and they're trying to keep the baby to not disturb everyone around them. And you have a new appreciation for what these parents go through every week. Because frankly, wouldn't it be easier just to stay home? But they don't. And you give thanks to God for that. As you remember something you heard one time, that a church without crying is a church that's surely dying. And that's when your attention is drawn to the other side of the room where you hear that Bible thump to the floor. And you notice it was an elderly parishioner, church member for 60 years. You notice the tremor of Parkinson's as she slowly reaches down a trembling hand to retrieve the Bible that she's just lost grip on. You now understand better what she goes through every week. And yet there she is, committed to her God, reading his word. Finally, you notice that it's the welcome team that's doing the not-so-whispery whispering at the back of the room. There's a man standing there. He's not a regular to the church. Looks as though, although we don't want to judge by appearances, that he may have come looking for some help. Perhaps some food or something else. And it's his whispering that you hear as he, with as much dignity as is left, asks a complete stranger if there's anything to eat here. The welcome team member exits the sanctuary with the visitor because he knows there are muffins in the coffee room. And with a grateful prayer, you give thanks to God for giving you the gift of fresh perspective this morning, understanding better what's happening and what God is doing in the lives of different people. And at the end of that little prayer, you silently dare anyone in the church to complain even a little bit that there are fewer muffins at coffee time. Fresh perspective, right? Fresh perspective on the nearness of the kingdom of God. Because when he opens our eyes, it's a gift. We get to see things that we would never otherwise have seen. We need to be willingly seeking that every day. We sing it because it's easy. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. That's a dangerous thing to pray. He might just do it. You might not like what he's showing you. But we need to have the veil or the scales or whatever it is that have shielded our eyes to fall away so that we can see God's goodness. We can see what it means for our respective lives. And it's important to remember that our perspectives on what God is up to and what God wants us to do are going to be as unique and different as the journey that we're on. Where I need to have my perspective altered, it may not be the area that you need to have your perspective altered in. But we both need to be seeking the perspective of God as he's called us to serve him and to walk in his kingdom. But let's go back to the scriptural event from 2 Kings. And there's a number of fresh perspectives there. And what I want to invite you to do is let his spirit convict you as to which one of these fresh perspectives might be most beneficial to you. We start back again with the Aramean king. He was positive that his plan was right, his ways were perfect, and that the fact that his army was failing over and over again, that was somebody else's fault. But who? And of course, opinions varied when he asked. But you know, it was only through an act of God that the king actually came to see what was really going on. A fresh perspective for him on what the God of Israel can do. But maybe for you, it's the officers. The officers were so eager to come up with an answer for what they thought was going on around them that they jumped to wild and unfounded conclusions that were far from the actual truth. And then they gained a humbling perspective when the raiding team, the army, returned and informed the king what was really going on and who they were really up against. Maybe you're like Elisha's servant. Diligent in your role, faithful in your tasks and your attendance, but completely unaware of what God is really doing all around you. Because do you look around and do you only see the army of problems that surround you, or do you see the angel army that surrounds the problems all around you? Elisha interceded for his servant so that the servant of God, so that the servant could see what God was actually up to, and it was far more than the servant could see with his own eyes. Or maybe it's the fresh perspective that the Aramean soldiers received. They were just following the rules. They were just doing what they'd always done. They were executing the plans the way they'd always done until that day when God ironically took away their sight to help them see better. There they were, trusting whomever it was that was leading them to the town where they thought they would find this holy man, Elisha, only to find out all that was Elisha leading them all along. I believe God wants to take each of us somewhere that we would not choose to go ourselves, or we'd already be there. That he wants us to do things under his power, to show us things that we can't even comprehend. But to do it, we need to walk by faith, not by sight. Is it possible that that's the fresh perspective that God wants to give you this morning? Because for all of those people, it's like God made them sit in the balcony, in the front row, to see what's really happening. You couldn't see it when you were down on the floor, so let me show you what's really happening from up here. I think Elisha lived in the balcony because he seemed to know right away what was going on. He was very clear about what he saw and what he understood about what, I mean, that's the role of the prophet, right? Elisha saw the angel army surrounding the Aramean army and knew that it was going to be okay because those who are with us are more than those who are with them. So as I close, I want to leave you with one question. Would you honestly like to live with the same assurance of God's sovereignty in all that you see, and more importantly, in all that you don't see, from your place down here on the floor, the way that Elisha did? Do you want eyes, the eyes of Elisha? We sing Days of Elijah, we should sing the eyes of Elisha. You read the way that Elisha asked the Lord to open the eyes of his servant, to see God's power at work. Ask the same for yourself. Submit to him in all things. Have the eyes of Elisha. Get a fresh perspective on the things of God. Look to the hills and be amazed when you get to see what God is really doing that you've never seen or comprehended before. These are the words we're about to sing. May they be our prayer this morning. I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he's a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. Praise team, come on back up and lead us in those powerful words.